And greetings, friends. Welcome to Tomorrow's World, where we give you powerful insights into today's news and the prophecies of tomorrow's world. My friends, at this time of year, millions focus on various ideas and sentimentalities about the little Lord Jesus away in a manger. But do you realize that Jesus Christ came into this world to proclaim His kingship? Do you realize that the Bible devotes far more space to Christ's coming kingship than to the events surrounding His birth? Are you aware of the real meaning of Christ's birth? Stay tuned. My friends, what are the noises you've been hearing lately? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. And what about Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer? And what did the wise men bring Jesus Christ? Did they bring Him birthday presents? What is the truth and the real meaning behind all these things? Do you really understand? Do you understand why people observe Christmas? Is that what it should be? Is that what the world should be doing? Think of all the emphasis nowadays on Santa Claus. He looks like a jolly old man, but what does that have to do with the Jesus Christ of the Bible or the purpose of His coming to this earth? Notice what your Bible says. Turn with me into your Bible. Follow. See what your Bible says. If you have a Bible, get one. Check up on me. Prove these things. If you get your nose in the Bible, my friends, you're going to find out that professing Christianity has got way off track in an awful lot of ways, and you need to understand. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So think about that. Think about the word of God, the Bible that God inspired. We're to live by every word of God, and in the Bible God reveals His purpose and His plan. What does the purpose of God give for Christ's second coming? What does it say? Turn to John. Turn with me now to the Gospel of John, and we'll turn to chapter 18 and see what Jesus said and what the Bible said was the reason for His coming. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Notice, my friends, what Jesus said now. If you want to know what the truth is, see what He said. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate then said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause," notice, "for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Turn with me to the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark 1, beginning in verse 14. This tells what Christ preached. "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel," that is the good news, "of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" Men were repent. Repent of sin, and sin is called the transgression of God's law in the Bible. And they were to believe what Christ taught, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Again, is it just the church? Is it all righteous men working together to bring about a godly society? Or is it just a warm feeling in your heart, which some have thought? Turn to Luke again. Luke chapter 21 in your Bible. Check up. Let's see what the Bible says about these things. Luke chapter 21, So likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. You see, Christ's coming is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Notice Luke chapter 22. Turn right over to the next chapter. Luke 22, he describes more about the kingdom of God. Luke 22, verse 28. He told his disciples here at the end of his life, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes, or the 12 nations of Israel." The Bible describes the four great world-ruling empires. And back in Daniel 2, you read about the fifth kingdom, the rock that's going to come and crush the nations of this earth, the kingdoms of this world, and that kingdom will last forever. That's the kingdom or government of God. So we need to realize that Christmas teaches us nothing about the real purpose for Christ's return or about the real gospel. But the God of the Bible commanded certain holy days to be observed. They are far different from Christmas and Easter. Are you interested in what the Bible says? We're supposed to live by every word of God. Let's be honest. A lot of you out there are very sincere. I know that. I grew up in a mainstream church. I went along with all this stuff. I observed Christmas. I came down from the upstairs bedroom and saw the Christmas tree and all the trappings of Santa Claus sneaking down the chimney and heard all that as I grew up. But think about it. What did Christ teach? What did the original apostles observe? What did they do? And think about what the entire world will start observing soon when Christ actually returns to this earth as King of Kings. At this point, my friends, I want to offer you a free copy of a truly vital booklet which answers many of the questions I'm asking in this program. This booklet is entitled, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. This booklet gives you complete biblical proof that these are the religious festivals all true Christians should be observing. The Holy Days, God's Master Plan, explains the meaning of each of God's true holy days. It has a detailed chart inside, which explains and lists these religious festivals in their order. This encouraging and inspiring booklet, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan, will truly open your eyes to what you have been missing of the great plan of Almighty God. So call us or write us right away to request this free booklet.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, my friends, God's true holy days. Remember that Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And that word of God is right here, and it says certain things we need to understand. I think most of you know that the only written word of God at that time was what we call the Old Testament. Jesus and the apostles constantly quoted from the Old Testament as Scripture. So we need to realize that it is looked on as Scripture by God. So notice the inspired Scripture given to us in Zechariah 14. Turn with me in your Bible if you have one. Check up on me. This is truly an exciting Scripture. A lot of people don't understand this. Most preachers avoid this one because it's hard to explain. Yet this scripture, this end time book talking about the New Testament, talking about the coming kingdom of God, this book here refers right on over into New Testament times. New Testament theology is kind of a bridge book, and it's talking about what lies just ahead. Notice Zechariah, the next to the last book in your Old Testament, Jesus quoted from it. It's scripture, Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. In that day when he comes again, he won't be up in heaven, he'll be here on this earth. I've been on the Mount of Olives, a number of you have too. He's coming right back to that spot, a big hill just east of Jerusalem. It says in verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Not up in heaven, on this earth. And notice the next thing he gets into a little later here in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, that's a lot of nations, most of the nations of this world, which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, some preachers might try to say, well, they're going to go up there and they'll watch the Jews keep the feast. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says they shall come up and they, all nations, shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The whole world will learn to observe some of the religious holy days. In fact, all those that the Bible commands, all seven of them. And it shall come be that whichever of the families of the earth, the whole earth, which do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Oh, they have a lot of arguers then too. Well, I don't know, and this is just Jewish stuff, and we don't need to do this. That's the argument people bring up today. What's going to be the argument then? When God cuts off the rain, and then God brings plagues on the nations that do not come up, because he goes ahead and he says, if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Eternal strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Every nation on this earth will come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles in a very few years. And in a very few years, the whole world will be observing God's religious festivals. Christ kept them. The apostles kept them. Somehow professing Christianity has got away from what the Bible said. And many of you don't understand that. I didn't understand that. I had to learn that. Think about it. They'll all come up to Jerusalem to observe this wonderful festival, a seven-day festival picturing the great fall harvest, the time when God is going to try to save the whole world, a time of rejoicing when you read about it in the Bible. And this booklet will explain that. Picture the magnificent processions of kings and world leaders coming up to Jerusalem to worship Christ and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's going to be absolutely magnificent. Jerusalem will be far more beautiful than it is today because it'll be completely revived. It'll be made much more beautiful, much more joyous in every way. There will be absolutely joyous and happy family occasions and parties and celebrations all over this beautiful city honoring Christ the King. And there will be gorgeous music from huge choirs and instrumental groups. These things can be used to worship God in the way He says. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, my friends, and you see there, of course, Christ and the apostles observing the Passover. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were keeping the Unleavened Bread feast too. And again, they kept that, as you will see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The days of unleavened bread come right after Passover. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus. Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Here's Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world. He could say, that's all done away. You don't need to do that. No, he didn't say that. At the very end of his life, you see that they prepared the Passover. It describes how they did as Jesus directed. In verse 19, prepared the Passover. Then he came and sat down with the 12. And then he said that one would betray him. And then, as you see in verse 26, Matthew 26, verse 26, as they were eating the old roast lamb and bitter herbs of the Passover, Jesus took bread. Then he didn't do away with the Passover. He simply changed the symbols of the Passover. And Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "I take, eat. This is my body. This bread represents my broken body." Then he took the cup, and this cup of red wine, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this cup represented, obviously, my blood," Jesus said, "of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In other words, he was going to observe the Passover even when he comes back again. It's not to be done away with. So Jesus and the apostles observed the Passover and unleavened bread, not Easter, which is the name of a pagan god called Astarte or Ishtar in various names throughout the pagan cultures of that time. Next in God's plan, after Passover and the days of unleavened bread, comes Pentecost. Turn to Acts, the second chapter, and you'll find the truth about Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, my friends, and let's read about this wonderful festival called Pentecost. "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." He poured out his spirit on what? On one of his holy days to help these people understand the ultimate meaning, which this booklet will explain. The God's church began on the day of Pentecost. Turn to Acts chapter 20 now, and you'll see they kept right on observing it every year. It wasn't some one-time occasion, as many seem to think. It was something they did every year at the set time. Acts chapter 20. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 20. Years later, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus that he would not have to spend the time in Asia, what we call Asia Minor today, or the nation of Turkey, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now, some will try to say, "Oh, well, he was going to be there with the Jews." No, the Jews had threatened to kill him long before now. He wasn't trying to keep them with anything with the Jews. He was there with God's true church on the day of Pentecost, one of God's seven annual holy days. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us about another day of Pentecost, because it comes every year. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 7, Paul is writing the Corinthians. He said, "I do not wish to see you now on the way," as he was on this trip, "but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry," which does not mean hoop and holler, just simply an old English word which means remain. "I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. I'm going to stay here, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." A door, an opportunity to preach the truth to that city of Ephesus. So he wanted to stay there, and he was going to remain there at least until Pentecost. Years and years later, here's the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, in a pagan city, Ephesus, keeping Pentecost. All of God's holy days, my friends, were observed by the early New Testament church of God. And these days picture the great plan and the great purpose which God is working out among mankind. Notice this chart and the listing of all seven of the holy days of God. Notice first is Passover. That's the first of the holy days of God. Passover, as the Bible explains clearly, pictures, of course, when Christ, the God of the Old Testament, passed over the Jews and protected them. The blood of Christ, actually typified by the Lamb back there, they were to be protected. If you're under the blood of Christ, that's the first thing in Christianity, to repent, to give your life to God, to accept His shed blood and every one of us needs to be forgiven. But the next thing is the days of unleavened bread. And again, the booklet explains what that is. First, you accept Christ, you're forgiven your sins, then you're to grow in grace and in knowledge. That's the next thing. You come out of sin. You put leaven, which unleavened bread pictures sin, you put leaven out of your life. You come out of sin after your repentance and your first conversion. Then what comes next? You need the help of God's Holy Spirit, which Pentecost pictures, and the blessing of being part of the first fruits of God's church, a small group, the little flock at this time, the little harvest in the spring. Not the big fall harvest when God sets his hand to save the world. A lot of you have been taught by these various preachers, well, God's trying to save the world. He's not trying to save the world now, my friends. He is God Almighty. If he were trying to save the world, he would save the whole world. But most people who are alive or ever have been alive have never accepted Christ. You know that. He's not trying to save the world now. Pentecost pictures that, and this whole panorama of God's festivals helps you understand. Next comes the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets were an alarm of war. That begins the seventh month of God's Holy Day plan, and it shows the time of upset and world war just before Christ's return. Trumpets, an alarm of war. Next comes the Day of Atonement, and that pictures the at-one-ment the world has finally with God after Christ comes and Satan is banished. And the whole world can finally get undeceived because they have been deceived now by Satan. Next comes the sixth festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, or, of course, as it's called in the Old Testament, the Feast of Ingathering. Because these festivals were based for the ancient Israelites on the harvest seasons of Israel at that time. And finally then comes the last great event. Most people again think God is desperately trying to save the whole world, but he's not, yet he's God Almighty. What's the answer? The last great day gives you the answer, the time of the great white throne judgment when God is going to give an opportunity for salvation. Not a second opportunity, the first opportunity to hundreds of millions of people, perhaps who didn't even hear the name of Jesus Christ, had no chance. Is God unfair? Or is God a respecter of persons? No. He's going to give many an opportunity to know the truth in this time. And then all human beings who have ever lived and died will have had a genuine opportunity to know about the true God, the true plan of God, the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. Again, my friends, these are the days the whole world will soon be observing. And we need to observe them ourselves to learn God's plan. If you would truly wish to follow the Christ of the Bible, then write us or call us right now to really learn about these days. Our eye-opening booklet, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This booklet gives you the complete biblical proof that these are the religious festivals all true Christians should be observing. The Holy Days, God's Master Plan, explains the meaning of each of God's holy days. It has a detailed chart. Watch for that chart inside, listing and explaining these religious festivals in their order. This encouraging and inspiring booklet, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan, will truly open your eyes to what you've been missing of the plan of the great God. So call us right now to request your free copy of this booklet. Just ask for the booklet on the holy days. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, as you learn these truths, you will have a key decision to make in your life. As you continue to learn God's truth through this program and the Tomorrow's World magazine, you will need the faith and the courage to truly obey your Creator. Please be sure that you do not follow the traditions of men, as so many have done. Notice how even the religious leaders of Christ's day turned aside. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 in your Bible, beginning in verse 41. He talks about Christ and the prophecies referring to Him. These things Isaiah said when he saw His glory and spoke of Him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, that is the religious rulers of the synagogue, as it's talking about, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved, notice, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's so easy to do. What will my friends think? What will my church think? What will all these people think, my relatives? Do you want to obey God? Are your relatives going to save you in the coming tribulation? Who is going to save you unless you learn to surrender to the God of the Bible and walk with God and do what the great God actually says? Again, my friends, picture the real future of Christianity and the whole world. Remember, Zechariah chapter 14 tells us that all nations are going to come up to Jerusalem and they're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. May God grant you the courage to do His will. Again, call now to request this inspiring and eye-opening booklet entitled The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. Just ask for the Holy Day booklet and be sure to act on what you learn. Tune in every week to Tomorrow's World. On this program, you will, as you know, gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. To view today's program, order the free literature offered, or for more information on today's vital subject, visit us online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. Expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of this station. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.